is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wonderful wife of 38 years helping me to try to help you know just some of what God did for us. And I hope you know that it's what God did for us that we believe he could do for you. But it really starts with getting a hold of what is biblical love. And so we're picking it up like a gem that we're holding up to the light and turning it in the light with all the different cuts and colors and carrots. Because it's not just one thing, is it, honey?
Right.
It's not just sexual love. How can we get a better sex life or greater sexual intimacy? It's eros, that sexual component. It's storge, just solid family love. It's philia, friendship. It's a real friendship that we've been digging into for a bit. And then we're going to get to today in our show, agape, God-like love. And if you're like, wait a minute, but I'm not God. I know. But the love he's giving you, his agape love, wasn't supposed to stay with you. It's supposed to flow through you to others. So what about this philia, friendship, love? And then we'll head into agape and begin to unpack. What does that look like, Vicki?
Well, we talked about you and your coffee on our last show, but I just wanted to say, I just was thinking of a time as we were preparing for this, that you really did that for me. So every summer we would go see Brad's parents in Knoxville, and then often we would kind of put it together or pair it with going to see my sister and her husband and their family in Helen, Georgia. So I'm the navigator. So I'm like the map queen. I love maps. I love atlases. And so I get to kind of say, all right, let's go this way, that way. So,
and I'm clueless.
Yeah.
I mean, that we could reach back to Ezer,
that yes.
God gave me a helper suitable. I'm telling you what, I know some Greek, I know some Hebrew, I read books, but my mind, something is missing. I cannot find my way out of a paper bag.
Every time I think of this, somehow Brad was driving his parents and his little brother and his, I don't know,
your then girlfriend
or date, whoever. And he was driving to South Carolina, and he was driving. His parents were in the back seat with his brother.
I was trying to go to Columbia, South Carolina,
yes,
to Columbia Bible College from Knoxville.
All of a sudden, they look up, and they're in North Carolina. Like, they should not be in North Carolina.
I was just driving and talking to my girlfriend. My mother was in the back seat. I guess my mother and
Tell
father
and your
with
little
my
brother,
younger brother
yes.
squeezed in between them with some little Star Wars figures.
He's gone like 4 hours out of the way, and they're in North Carolina.
This is a 71 Buick Skylark. This is not a nice car. I do believe the AC worked, I hope.
And every time I think of what his mother said, but, I can laugh.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember what she said?
I just looked up. I know it sounds funny to you that have good directions. I mean, the car was
or
moving
they use
when
Waze.
I looked
there
up.
Was no Waze.
Oh, there was no Waze.
Yes.
And a map just meant nothing to me. I couldn't make heads or tails. And I just thought, where are we? So I pulled over into this convenience store and I asked the guy, he's like, oh, you are nowhere near. We were 3 hours out of our way from, because they were going to have to turn around and go back. Yeah, I wasn't driving my Buick Skylark. I was driving their orange Monte Carlo because I didn't have a car. They were taking me back to school and they were going to turn around that day and go home. My mother, she could have spit nails. She was just pacing the parking lot. And she said, Bradley, you couldn't find your way out of a wet paper sack. Like, oh,
that's okay. Just always come back to me. I mean, he's just a very brilliant man. He took Greek and Hebrew at the same time in seminary. They go two different directions.
But I mean, literally,
it's just not there.
It's useless. I remember we'd gone to visit somebody at their house for a meal, and we were in two vehicles because I had to come straight from work.
This is a sad story.
I mean, this is recently. This is not like I've gotten better, and I'm not trying to be bad. It's like,
I don't know.
It had gotten dark. So she went on ahead of me. I hit this little roundabout. It's just right inside their neighborhood. Right on the edge of their neighborhood. It had five options. I went around and I shot off every, and I was zip around, shoot, roundabouts.
And I was home thinking, it's been
roundabouts are so confusing to me.
20 minutes.
And finally, I just called her. Praise God for cell phones today. And I said, honey, you got to help me or you're never going to see me again. I have shot off into the dark on every one of these roundabout options. How
but it's
do
dark,
I get home?
And I'm not with him. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where you are. I don't know. How am I supposed to help you?
Roundabouts frighten me.
Yeah, they do. So anyway, that's my favorite phrase. You couldn't find your way out of a wet paper bag.
But what's the friendship part? Oh, you just helping me
okay,
with directions?
Okay, so yes. So I was navigating, which I love to do. So I just said, hey.
Oh, on our way to Helen to meet
right.
your
so
sister.
So we go pretty much all interstate and go through some little towns. But I'm like, there's a way that's a little shorter. It's a back road. So that's just like
and
right down my alley. Yeah, it was a little shorter.
Mm.
That's how I convinced him to take this.
Mileage-wise,
yes.
Keep that in mind as the story progresses.
But
key
it has a really
thought.
Nice ending. So we got off I-75 to take this little road. And what I didn't realize at the time—
The road less traveled.
Yes, it was the road less traveled.
For
I
a
do
reason.
Like that poem. It's one of my favorites. Thank you for mentioning that. But anyway, it basically just took us through these incredible— So mind you, we have all five kids in this big conversion van. I was actually sitting in the back. And literally by the time we got to Helen, everyone felt like, including me, felt like we were going to throw up.
It
was like back and
one
forth, back
one hairpin
forth.
Turn
but
after another.
The jewel of the trip was
stop.
As soon as we got off the interstate, we had maybe were like 10 miles off the interstate on this little country road. And on the side of the road are all these little birdhouses.
Oh, that was that same trip.
Yeah, that was the same trip.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, birdhouses. And I think, wasn't there a sign that said, weren't they like $25 or $50?
Yeah. But I mean, these
beautiful
were beautiful
condos.
Birdhouses all lined up on the front of his lawn
right.
next to a ditch right,
right
next
right.
to the road.
So we stopped, we pulled the big van in, and it was the sweetest thing. It was this little house, this little brick house, and it was the sweetest, kindest man. And he's like, my wife just died. I'm really sad. So I started this new hobby. So now I'm selling these birdhouses. I'm like, oh, we'll take eight of them. No, we really didn't have room
and guess
for
what?
One.
If you've been paying attention to the
right.
previous shows, she had cash because he only takes
that's
cash.
Right.
Why?
Thank you.
Because I know her and I
hard
love her and
cash.
I made sure she had cash.
So we gave him our cash. We chose a birdhouse. It's white with a red roof. And this thing is beautiful.
Oh, it's a condo.
Yeah, it's a condo.
It's a multiplex.
And he somehow had to drag it with us all the way
so
down
well
to Georgia.
It's so well made. I have
Florida.
Sanded it and painted it three times.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to tell.
And we still have it. Oh, it's
so
beautiful.
Because I love this birdhouse, Brad has taken such good care of it. At one point, squirrels were gnawing a hole around it.
Mm.
We figured out how to do that. You have
did
to buy,
research on
right.
what keeps squirrels out.
Mm-hmm. It's a little like copper plate that you put on
yep.
top of that
yep.
with two little. Anyway, he's taken such good care of this birdhouse. So at our old house, he had to buy a 4x4, put cement in the ground.
Because we moved to a new home 18 months ago.
Right. But at our old house, he put it up for us and he had to put it in concrete. And then in the winter, so it will not get damaged by the, you know, snow and all that, you can take it off. This, it just slips off the 4x4.
So I've got a 4x4 that I put in the ground with concrete and I just lift the birdhouse off. It was so cool. The way he made it is there's a hole in the bottom the size of a 4x4.
Right.
So you just drop it down on the top of your post and you can lift it up and carry it in for
and
the winter.
And if spring comes and it's not out there, little birds literally come and just sit on that post and start
chirping.
They
just swarm the post.
So that
and if they could
return,
speak, they're saying, what's up?
Yeah.
Where's the condo? Where's
don't
the condo?
Us.
Where's the condo? We stay here every summer.
Right.
The whole family's back. What is going on?
And so then we moved to our new house. Of course, we brought our birdhouse with us and we had new and improved. Instead of concrete, we used this type of, it's kind of this
some
frightening
kind of foam
spray. Oh,
that
foam.
Hardens. Yeah.
And you just think you just need a little bit of it. Learn from my experience. It just comes foaming out of the hole.
Bubbling.
Anyway,
yep.
He was good. He put it back up for me. And
one of the first things I got done.
Yeah. Yeah. He made it a priority.
She didn't
so
have to ask. I just put it on
not
my
even
list.
Beg.
I thought, I bet she would love to see
that. But
that
meant a lot to me because I knew he's busy. He is a busy man.
And I know you sense that we're being a little silly, but I hope you realize we're actually very serious.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that make our marriage so much better. This is why I love her
and
she loves me now. And these are the things that were not going on. The Brad Bigney from the first 2 to 3 years of our marriage would have said, please, there's so much that
first,
needs to happen.
First, we're not even stopping to look at the birdhouses.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the move.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know when I'll put that birdhouse up. I don't know when that will happen. Well, it happened real quick. because I've learned she loves stuff like that. And so that's what philia is comprised of. It's a shared interest, a shared love. I didn't grow up caring about birds. I didn't grow up with a birdhouse. I didn't grow up thinking this was a big deal. But I've married a woman who does. And so guess what? So do I. Because I love her with philia love, friendship, shared, partner, team. We do life together. I try to think what you think, and I try to know and care about what you know and care about. Well, we're going to shift. So we've walked through storge and philia, and we want to introduce you in our show today to agape. This is the granddaddy of them all. This is the God-like love. Here's the definition, and we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and begin to unpack it a little more. Agape love is a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. Now, it starts with God, so it shouldn't surprise you that it sounds this way. It is a love so great that it can be given to the unlovable or those that are unappealing. And that would change your marriage. If you could bring this kind of love, and this is the word that is used more often than any of the four in the Bible, agape, agape. Love each other with an agape love. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll unpack it some more. What would it look like to begin to love your spouse the way God loves you?
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment as they continue to talk about friendship in marriage. We're talking about agape love today. That's the love that doesn't quit when it's inconvenient. And if that's the kind of love you're trying to build into your marriage, that's the kind of marriage you want, listen, you need more than just inspiration. What you need are tools that you can actually use. And that's what you'll find on Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded it yet, oh, let me tell you about it. Everything we make at Fortis Institute lives there on Fortis Plus. And every single resource we offer is built on scripture from the ground up. And it's all aimed at real problems that you're dealing with. Whether it's in your marriage and your parenting, and you hear Brad and Vicky talk about it here on Thrive, or what you're going to find in our other shows as well, like Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, Integrated with Dr. John Kratz, The Better Way with Libby Gawson, or Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. You're going to find it all at fortisplus.org. And you can conveniently download the app, whether it's on your mobile device or on your smart TV. Just search in your app stores where you download apps on your smart TV or your phone, and you'll find Fortis Plus absolutely free of charge. You're never going to run into a paywall. You're never going to be asked for a credit card. It is always free. And there's a reason that it's always free. It's because of the help of our gospel partners. That's right. Our gospel partners help us keep every single bit of content we produce free. What gospel partners do is quietly put biblical help into the reach of strangers, people they will never, ever likely meet. And I want to ask you, if you've ever been helped by this ministry, if you've ever been helped by our content, and you have ever thought about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, now might be the time to start praying about what it would look like in your life to do just that. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church, which that is your first priority, if you're not giving to your local church right now faithfully, don't give to this ministry. Your local church comes first. But if you are and you can possibly join us as a gospel partner, we want you to start praying about it and also doing a little research. And you can find out more information right now at fortisinstitute.org. All the answers to all the questions you likely have can be found right there. And now let's get back to Brad and Vicky as they continue to talk about agape love. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right. We just began talking about agape love before the break. This godlike giving for the needs of another. I have your best interest in mind. I don't have my hand out. I'm not measuring, I'll give this much if you give that much back. And I know you might be thinking, whoa, I can't do that. Oh, I know you can't. But when God loves you like that, then he expects you to pass that same love on. And so here's a verse I want you to think about. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he talks about the love of God, and it is the word agape. It says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us, we can persevere, we can endure, we can go on, we can love. And so, yeah, you would never, I would never have this kind of agape love apart from God's love in me. And when, if you say you're a Christian, you say, well, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. Christ is my Savior. Well, then this love lives in you because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the fruit of the Spirit is, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and following, love. It's agape. In the Greek right there in Galatians 5:22, it's love, joy, peace, patience. He gave you this love. It dwells in you and you are receiving it daily from God your Father. And he expects us to bend that out horizontally to become a flow that also touches those around us. What are thoughts from you, Vicky, as we shift towards agape love?
Well, as I studied this passage, I really liked the New Living Translation. I think context is king as we're reading in God's
the
word.
First Corinthians 13.
And so I think he does something to me that he's trying to get our attention, and he's lists things that in our minds would be really important things. But he's saying, it doesn't matter if you have all these things, if you don't have love, you're nothing. So I really
actually picks up some of the things that our world would point to and say, wow.
Right.
And actually begins to say, not wow, if you don't have love.
So I like the New Living Translation, and this is how it reads. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So, I mean, you know, if you could speak all the languages of the world, that's like 7,000 languages, and I had languages of earth and angels, but I don't love others, that's not as important. What if I had the gift of prophecy? I can understand all things, and I understand all of God's secret plans and possess all knowledge. I mean, that's pretty nice. I would understand prophecy, and I would understand
future and mysteries.
Right. Is my daughter going to marry that boy, or will she not?
I would know things we so wish we could know about the future.
Right. The secret plans of God. I'm going to know, you know, when is my dog Fluffy going to die? If I possessed all knowledge, if even I had faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. So even though those are important things in our world, knowledge is so important.
Yeah.
It's something we just all think, oh, that's what I really want. That's what I need. God's saying, nope, none of that matters if you don't have love.
And so it's possible to have incredible knowledge, which please don't hear us advocating ignorance.
Right.
But you can have all kinds of knowledge, and if you're not loving, it's nothing. You could have the ability to have insights into things people wish they could know about the future, and if you don't have love,
how to cure cancer, molecular biology, all those things, it doesn't matter if you don't have love.
Yeah.
And then lastly, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So you know what? You can sacrifice. You can give your money away to send kids to Young Life Camp, work 80 or 90 hours a week. I'm sacrificing for my family. God says, you know what? That's great. But if you don't love them, if you're still biting their heads off when they leave their bicycle in the driveway as you come home, if you don't have love,
so in a sense, it's frightening. He's indicating we have the capacity to do all kinds of things and do it without love.
And I really
think some things that look initially good.
Yeah.
But you can do it without love.
And I think
love.
In some ways, you know, he's basically saying it might be harder to choose to love the people that God's purposefully and sovereignly placed around you. It might be harder to do that than even learning like a language.
Mm-hmm.
I know like Brad had a personal assistant and she spoke 5 languages. She was from Europe.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would be a great thing to do. I would love to be able to speak 5 languages. I know when we went to Europe one time, I mean, I felt so ignorant. Only Americans know
one language.
And we were in Germany and, you know, we did not have a tour guide. It was so frustrating. But I think sometimes even learning to love someone, and it is something we have to learn to do, that could be harder than even learning
German.
And you
might, you know, Vicky, this is so good that you're pushing this. I think sometimes in our world that so values education, awareness, information, you got to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think our world has actually stopped emphasizing love.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I think you see a difference in how people are treating each other, how mm-hmm. people are relating to each other.
It's not taught in the home.
No, you do mm-hmm. not see the Bible saying, oh, my goodness, get educated, get educated, right. get aware. It says you got to love.
Mm-hmm. Even again, have all knowledge. Yeah.
You've got to love. And I think especially in the day we live now, you know, with there's thousands of ways to be informed and educated.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is yeah. missing.
TED Talks.
Is how
things.
Do I, yeah. How right. do I stir up love?
Right.
So if you were to begin to focus on something that might change, listen, I hope you realize if you got a hold of some of the stuff that we're bringing you in our show, this would help you on your job
yeah.
with the people around you.
On your, with your
this
neighbors.
This would help you with your neighbors. This would help you in your church family mm-hmm. relationships. It is all
kids.
About love.
And I think John 13, 34 and 35 also came to my mind. It says, let me give you a new command, love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciple. If you have faith that can move mountains, nope.
Nope.
If you understand angels, nope.
If you speak seven languages.
Yes. If you speak Finnish, nope. When they see the love you have for each other. And I just think we just cannot... It's not our natural flesh. It's not what our society says, but it's what God's word says. And the thing I really like about this, as I thought about it some more, is, you know, what God asks us to do to love others, it is a choice, but it's attainable. You know, for some of us, so sorry.
He wouldn't ask us to do what he will not enable us to do.
I'm probably not going to learn five languages in my lifetime.
Nor I.
I did not make a 36 on the ACT.
Nor I.
You only have the brains that you have. You know, if you're not brilliant, sorry, but probably that ship has sailed. But you know what you can do? You can do something that God values above all those things. You can learn and choose to love others the way we're talking
That's
about.
Right.
And I think this word agape describes that perfectly.
Yeah. And I hope that excites you that God would not call us mm-hmm. so many times. It's over and over in the scriptures. Yeah. He would not call us to do.
Right.
What he will not enable us to do.
And in some ways, that's a very freeing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, this is what he values, love, and yet he's enabled us to do it. But once again, I think all those things we mentioned, those are, you know, even attaining knowledge, you have to study, you have to do term papers, you have to go to college, whatever, go to your graduate level classes. You don't have to do any of that.
But what this does involve, and we already talked
about
it, well, hard work, but reaching back a little. Dying to self.
Yeah.
Until you get over you.
Yeah.
You will not be able to do this. But if you could get over you and die to making it all about you
mm-hmm.
and saying, oh, God, you have loved me. He says we love because he first loved us.
Right.
Help me to tap into that. And that's why you see Paul praying the way he does in so many of his letters. Like when he wrote the Ephesians, the Christians in Ephesus, he's like, that you may be grounded and rooted in love, that you may know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. So you've got to know he loves you. You've got to tap into it and experience it and delight in it and be so grateful mm-hmm. for it and aware of it that then you extend it to those around you, starting with your spouse. Because I want you to get a hold of this. When you try to make a distinction of, well, what is this agape love really about? If I could boil it down and make it most simple, I would say this is a giving kind of love mm-hmm. rather than a taking. It's a giving. It's amazing to me how often you will see this word agape love coupled together with the word give in the Bible. These are going to be some verses you know, but listen to this. It's John 3:16.
Mm.
Even our world waves that poster around at a football game every now and then.
On their face.
For God so loved the world that he spoke 9,000 languages. No, that he was the word.
Gave
his only begotten son. Ephesians 5:25, when we get into the role of the husband, it says, husbands, love your wives. You say, oh, I do. He says, oh, yeah? Just as Christ loved us and gave. Are you giving yourself of yourself? Yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Not, well, I gave her this. I gave her that.
Right.
No, you give of yourself. It's an inconvenience to yourself, outside of yourself. What would be good for her? And then Galatians 2:20, you hear Paul saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me now. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, we're talking about what could make your marriage move from ICU, dying, to beginning to thrive, to be alive and flourish. It starts with love. Love on every level, including a God-like love. Because He loves us like this, He calls us to love each other like this.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.